We're trying to get ranked before our conference tournament. You know, everybody says a one big lead, but I know what our the way we're going right now, we went out and we keep on winning from here on out, we feel like we could crack that top 25.
Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison. Here are my co-host, as always, Naruto Perdomo. Really good episode for you guys today. But first, bro, I mean, both had games this weekend. It was senior night for y'all, so just talk to me about that.
Man, it was a great weekend, bro. 2-0, obviously you always want to get that done. Played a tough Hartwick team on Friday and a tough Sage team on Saturday. Senior night was fire, just having my family there, you know, supporting Dame on hitting 1K, having my brothers there with Griffin, Hagen, Dev. You know, getting announced in the starting lineup, like all that stuff was really cool. And even post game, going to dinner, went to dinner with my family and Jaden, Iggy, and Dayon all came out too and had dinner with us. So it was a great night, bro. A lot of love and just, you know, excited for the rest of the year, man. It's going to be a good, you know, we just got to finish strong and, you know, give it our best effort heading into playoffs, bro. So how you feeling?
Nah, real quick on Utica, like, we talked about it with Dame later on in the episode, but 8 out of 9 games won. So you guys climbing up the ranks. What are you, third right now? Fourth?
Third.
Third. So that's big time. Keep getting them dubs out. But our weekend was up and down, bro. We beat Cuca on Friday, had a pretty good game. Saturday, jumped out on Elmira, was up 23 at the half. Also we got Casey back, which was big for us, but got Amara, who's up 23 at the half, and then I don't even know, bro. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm about to get tight while explaining what happened, but they came back and beat us, bro. And that's their second 20-point comeback of last week. So I don't know if that's their game plan or something, but tough loss for us. But we got Brockport and Geneseo. Geneseo is our senior night, so like you said, it's just going to be a fire energy, the guys you came in with. But enough of Alfred and Utica basketball. On today's episode, we got Jalen Hayes, Big Slime, definitely my boy. Shout out to Coach Steve Curran, who patched us in. He's the associate head coach at George Mason, one of the best associates and recruiters in the country, in my opinion. His work shows for itself, but patched us in, and, you know, it was a really good conversation with Jalen Hayes. I mean, he's having a really good year, averaging almost 13 points per game, one of the best rebounders in the A-10. Definitely getting some buzz, you know, with NBA looks. Could definitely see him getting some, like, pre-draft workouts based off the year he's having, but he's also got another year, which we'll talk about. But I want to hear your thoughts on this conversation and, you know, maybe Jalen Hayes or George Mason basketball.
I mean, it was a great conversation, bro. It was great to meet him. And like you said, he's obviously balling this year. I mean, he's averaging 12.5 points a game, 7 rebounds. He's tied for 23rd in the nation for field goal percentage at 58% from the field. So he's definitely hooping. And George Mason is 20, right? That's an elite record. So, I mean, like you said, it was a great conversation with bro. We talked about his journey, coming from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, going to Mont Verde, then going to Virginia Tech. And I don't think I said it in an episode, but I respected, like, he talked about how, like, he wasn't really playing that much at Virginia Tech. But regardless, like, he kept a good energy. He was still competing in practice, and he was still being a good teammate. And they won the ACC championship that year, so he still got a ring out of that too. You know what I mean? So he's forever etching history with that program. And then talking about his journey from ETSU, playing with your boy Jordan King over there. And that's when he really put himself on the map. After that, transferring to George Mason, having doing a redshirt year, how that affected him. And he stayed positive throughout that whole time. And now, you know, he's reaping the benefits of redshirting. He's killing right now, bro. And like I said, they're 20-5 this year and are going to have a lot of tournament buzz heading in. So definitely a great conversation with bro, and I'm excited for the viewers to get to know him.
Nah, I'm pretty sure that I said it to you, like, right after we were done recording, like, yo, he's mad humble, bro. Because, you know, when you're a high major player like Virginia Tech playing the ACC and you're not playing, it's easy to just be like, nah, fuck this, fuck that. Like, it was the coach's fault, or, you know, now he's killing and he's still, like, But my teammates, they pick me up when I'm having bad games. So I just really like his humbleness. But talking about George Mason, I mean, they're first in the A-10 right now, sitting at 20-5, one loss in the conference. But this is a mid-major team that can really mess some brackets up if they get in, because they're loaded 1 through 10. I mean, we talked about it in the episode, but, like, yesterday I was watching them play against St. Louis, and, like, their top guys and Darius Maddox and Jalen Haynes, they didn't have probably their best games, but Woody Newton had 27, 8-12 from three. And then late in the game, KD Johnson from Auburn, a transfer from Auburn, he came in and just, like, had two or three clutch buckets down the stretch. They got Jared Billups coming off the bench who really can guard it, was guarding, like, their four or five, and he's a guard, so he can guard 1 through 5. I mean, this team is nice, and Tony Skin's got them locked in too. Like, you can just tell all the guys are bought in. They don't care if they're playing 1 minute or 40 minutes. He just got it rolling. That coaching staff, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of keep improving regardless of how this year ends, because him and the rest of the staff, they're really good recruiters. GMU's a good program. So I could see, like, this year being successful, but, you know, the next few years, like, they keep rebuilding and reloading from where they pick or from where they leave off from this year. I don't know if you have any extra thoughts about this episode.
No, I mean, like you said, it was a great episode, bro. Great to talk to Jalen. I mean, he's going to be one of those guys that's probably, you know, all conference and, like you said, maybe league talk coming in the future. So that's kind of cool, and yeah, really excited for the viewers to get to know him. Yo, does KD Johnson start, by the way?
Nah, he comes off the bench, bro.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was playing minutes at Auburn when they were winning, you know, SEC championships, and he's just a basket, but they're loaded, and it doesn't seem like, if you look at their vibe in the locker room, like, they're dancing after the games and stuff, it doesn't look like he's tight that he's coming off the bench. Like, he's happy they're winning. And one thing, next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, the following, they got VCU. VCU's 19-5 right now, also one loss in the conference. I think everybody should tune into that game, because that's going to have major implications for, you know, obviously the A-10 tournament. But also, you know, the winner of that game, if they continue to win out, definitely can get some at-large talk. And I'm excited to watch that. Definitely going to be a good matchup. But definitely – like this episode, subscribe to the pod. Definitely appreciate all the support.
One thing, make sure you check out the Only in D3 segment after the show is over. And also make sure you check out the Empire 8 segment that we have at the end of the episode as well. New segments that we're bringing to the viewers that we hope you enjoy. Just wanted to say that. 100%.
But yeah, Let's hear from our guy, Jalen Haynes. We are here with that boy, Jalen Haynes. How you doing today, my guy?
I'm doing great, man. Great, great.
Appreciate you getting on, bro. Tell me, y'all had a game yesterday, and y'all won, so tell me a little bit about what you've been doing today.
Not much, really. Did some homework earlier today, around like 11, 12 o'clock. Then after that, I've just been in the house, recovering, relaxing.
Are you close with any of the guys on GMU? Like, y'all do anything on off days together, or you just be chilling solo?
It depends the day and what type of game we have. If it's like a hard game, everybody just stay sub. But if it's like pretty much a 15 plus win, you know, we all hang out with each other and stuff like that. But nothing really happened today. Everybody was to themselves.
Nah, I feel that. But I know we was talking. You said you was getting tatted the other day. So one, I want to hear where you got tatted from, and then how it went.
So I got tatted. I finished my whole sleeve.
Luffy.
I don't know if you can see for real, but I finished my whole sleeve.
That's hard, bro.
I had this side of my forearm, this side of my forearm already. Then I just got this, the outside of my shoulder, my bicep, and my tricep.
Hey, yo, them junks hurt, or it was like you got used to it?
Oh, it was calm. Like, it was cool. It was calm. No, it didn't really hurt that bad, but it was calm.
How old were you when you got your first tattoo?
Man, I just got my first tattoo last year.
You got addicted, bro.
Yeah, I just got my first tattoo last year. Yeah. No, not even last year. I want to say in the summer last year. So almost, it's about to be a year. So I'm about to have two tattoos in probably like a year. Yeah.
That's tough. My
sleeve in a year. Yeah.
That's tough, bro.
Is there any like specific one that means more than the other ones, or are you just freestyling the sleeve?
The whole sleeve means something to me because I always like, I don't really go on the internet and search up pictures or designs or whatever the case may be. I just told the artist like what I wanted and they just doing themselves. So I feel like every piece is unique to me.
No. What made you want to get like your first tat then if you started late?
The real reason I got my first tattoo, my cousin passed away in like, I want to say 2025. So about 5 years ago, coming up 5 years ago, that's why I got my first tattoo on this forearm right here on the inside of my forearm.
Word.
So that was like my first piece for real.
Word, rest in peace to Cuzzo. But sure. I want to talk about some basketball and I want to start with the Sports Center top 10 dunk, bro. What was your like? So he went for the steal, you caught at the elbow. You was thinking, like, I'm about to punch on dude, or just talk to me about that play and then like your reactions to seeing on Sports Center blowing up, all that.
So it was a design play, actually. Coach called the play. That team was being very aggressive. You know, they tried to play lanes, be ultra aggressive. So the play was, I set a down screen for my teammate. He comes off and he kind of ghosts the ball. Then I catch it. And the person who passed it to me, I'm going to fake it like I'm passing, hand it off right back. So when I caught it and I looked over my shoulder and I saw that he went, I just opened up and went. Because it's usually supposed to be an ISO, like jab, jab, then go.
Mm-hmm.
But it was as soon as I saw he went over my shoulder and he went, I just ripped it. And it was too much space. Usually I can't really, y'all know how hard it is in college basketball to get half court dunks and stuff. Mm-hmm. People are always on your hip and always on your body. So once I knew he was that far off, I know the fifth defender wasn't gonna try to block it. I mean, but he jumped, so it was a great play actually.
Yo, he fake set his man's up, bro, going for that steal.
Yeah.
But
is that your favorite poster that you had or nah?
That's my second one actually in college. I caught my first one my sophomore year, so about 2 years ago. So that's my second one, and I'll say that's my favorite one right there.
That's tough.
Nah, that's definitely tough. But when you seen on, you expected it to be on like SportsCenter top 10, or that was like a surprise?
I was asking my dad. I was asking everybody. I was like, y'all think it's gonna be on SportsCenter? It was like, it should. You dunked on two people, so it was like, it should. And like me and my teammates, we hung out after the game when we saw it somewhere. And you know how your teammates, your boys, be they're yelling, telling, hey, that's you on the TV, and everybody out there looking at me and stuff. So it was fun.
Nah, yeah, 100%. But I want to talk about this GMU team, bro, because y'all got it rolling right now. First in the A-10, sitting at 15-5, 6-1 in the conference. Well, 7-1 now in the conference. I mean, when I seen you guys play at Bonnie's, I was like, yo, this team is deep, bro. They got some, like, 1 through 10. Everybody can go for real. Y'all got one of the best defenders in the country in Billups. I was impressed by what he was doing on the court. And then Zach Anderson shooting the lights out. Braden O'Connor shooting 40% from three. So it's just like everything's rolling right now. So just talk about, you know, like what the vibe in the locker room is right now. And then like what's been working for y'all?
I'll just say over time, like we built chemistry and built togetherness over time. It wasn't really like that at the beginning. You know, everybody got their ups and downs. This is a brand new team. We only have five returners actually. So it's just, you know, it didn't always start off pretty. We had our ups and downs, especially in practice, getting together, getting along, stuff like that. But over time, we're just one of those groups that just like to have fun all the time. Like, we joke, we troll all the time. So just with that chemistry piece, you know, that's where it comes from, us just having fun in practice, trying to make best of things, and also hanging out with each other on the side. And that's really much it for real.
That's what's up, bro. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, when do you feel like y'all made that switch? Because you said that if it's like at first it was like competitive and like, you know, maybe you guys didn't really know each other like that. Y'all didn't really know how each other played. So it was like a certain practice or a certain game where you were like, okay, now the energy's shifting.
I'll say we was kind of figure out in the non-conference. Well, we all know that we could be good, but at the, we just try to figure things out together. And I want to say, man, I'll say after we took that second game, when we took that loss to Rhode Island, you know, everything was just falling because we know we could have beat them if we just made Everybody say free throws in that game. That's the biggest piece. So just, you know, locking in, like, we still do the same things today, but it just, you know, the togetherness and stuff like that, that just builds over time. And that's – once you, like, have that in the team, that's – it's pretty much unbeatable because we're the type of team that anybody on our team could go off. You know, at the beginning, you know, Darius had it going well at the beginning for him. I wasn't really doing so well as in my part. But, you know, I had a couple of games, like six games in a row, I'm averaging 20 and 10. So it's like – then you got Woody one and get on first conference game with Davidson. He scored the first 11 points. You know, nobody else is scoring, but he scored the first 11. Then you got Zach, you know, he made five straight threes what was our third game? Our third conference game. He made five straight. And Braden, you know, he have his games where he gets 14, 15, 12. So it's just as a team, you know, it's not that one person carrying the load because we know we all could go off and we all could hoop. Then you got KD, you know, he's the energy guy on our team. Him and JB, they come in probably at the same time. They guard the best players. They do all the little things. They make big shots. And that's really much it for real. We just all have a good, well-connected team and we all fit well together for real.
I got a few follow-up questions on that, but – one thing I was wondering, so y'all got a good record right now. If you guys went out, there's probably going to be some talks about George Mason getting at large. Is that something you guys are talking about, or are you just focused, like, when we get into the A-10 tournament, we just got to take care of business? Or you guys aiming for that, like, at large bid?
Man, we just had this conversation literally last night on the bus on the way back. We're trying to get ranked before our conference tournament. You know, everybody says a one big lead, but I know what our – well, the way we're going right now, we went out and we went and we keep on winning from here on out. We feel like we could crack that top 25 and, you know, sneak right in there. So that's our goal right now. Just to win the rest of our games, move forward and win out and get this league a two big lead.
Nah, yeah, that would be tough. And that's big for the A-10. You know, it used to be a league that's bringing in two teams in a tournament, but now it's turned into one big league. But you mentioned Darius, and I know y'all both went to Virginia Tech. We're going to talk about your chapter in a little bit at VT, but I was just wondering if he had any influence on your decision to come to George Mason.
Absolutely. Even one of the assistant coaches here, Coach Mark, he was my coach at ETSU. And once he called me and said he got the job with George Mason and that Darius was there, you know, that was very high interest on my level because I knew Darius since my freshman year of college, and we stay connected since then. So, yeah, I played a big part right there.
All right, so I want to bring it back all the way to high school, right? So you from Florida, right? You from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, so right down there near Miami and all that, South Beach. And one thing I wanted to ask you, before we talk about your days at Montverde, you were coached under a legendary coach, Coach Daryl Burrows, and he has a lot of All-Americans, McDonald's All-Americans on his team that he's coached before. And he just has a large history. He just has a great history in Florida. And he's like, I'm pretty sure he's in the Hall of Fame down there.
Yep.
So just talk about the memories that you have with him and what type of impact did he have on you as a player and person?
He had an impact on me since in middle school. So as soon as I left elementary school, Dillard High School, it first became a 6-12. So my first year in middle school, I'm walking around high school campus, seeing all these things and stuff like that. So, and I, you know, I played on the basketball team since then. So he always had a big influence. He's been watching me since I was 12 years old. So he always had a big influence on me.
That's tough. And then you did a post-grad year at Montverde Academy.
Yeah.
So just talk about that. That's a high-level school down there in Florida. And talk about your experience. I'm pretty sure it was during COVID, too.
Yeah. So me and my dad, we talked about it. You know, the best thing for me at the time, you know, just get myself better, work on my body and stuff like that before getting that first year in college. So, you know, we did that. You know, Kevin Boyle Jr., you know, he DM'd me on Instagram asking if I would like to come by and stuff like that. So, you know, that was an opportunity for me. That's something I really wasn't expecting for real. You know, everybody see Montverde and, you know, not everybody got the opportunity, chance to go over there. So for me personally, that was like a no-brainer, you know, just to go over there and, you know, be also practice with the varsity guys. You know, that was part of me coming there too. I had the experience to practice with the varsity guys, get practiced by Coach Boyle, Kevin Boyle himself. So, you know, that was a good experience, even though it was during COVID and stuff like that.
Nah, I kind of want to hear a little bit more about, like, these practices, because, yo, that Mont Verde team was tough. I'm pretty sure Jalen Duren was hooping then, Jalen Hussefino. So definitely, like, some NBA guys. But I kind of want to hear, like, how you felt in those runs. Like, nah, I'm at this level. Or, like, you could tell the difference when you was hooping then.
You know, it was different. You know, I never been under those type of guys before. That was kind of crazy. But...
Yo.
Hey, that sounded crazy.
Nah, that was OD, but running but back. That, so you never what?
I never, like, you know, been around, like, what they say, five-star guys, you know. You know, going to public school in the black neighborhood, you know, we kind of had a national schedule in high school. You know, we went to Vegas, you know, all the big tournaments, stuff like that. So being around that for, like, a multitude of months, you know, it was different, you know. Being coached like that, they actually, like, my first time seeing, like, an actual practice schedule in high school, like how it is in college. You know, how coaches had their practice schedule in high school. Kevin Boyd, he had a practice schedule every day. And, like, that was like a great experience. You know, not every kid, even public schools right now, their coaches probably not even doing that type of stuff because, you know, where the cases may be. But it was different, you know, being around those NBA level type guys, you know, knowing to compete with them. It was fun. You know, we had some good competitive days every day. Coach Bo made sure to keep it competitive and make sure we go at each other every day.
Are you still close to any of those guys from that team or not?
Yeah, I play the game with Scotty sometimes. I just talked to last time I saw Jalen Duren. When was the last time I saw him? I saw him about 2 years ago. That's the last time I saw him for real. But every time we see each other, we dab each other up. So it's stuff like that. And Scotty, I know he wasn't on the team when I was there, but I've been playing with Scotty since AAU. So we played the game. Yeah. Yeah, we played the game a lot. So that's really much it for real. Wait, and Derek Whitehead, yeah. Me and Reed, we real cool too.
What game you talking about? What game you be on?
Really 2K, Call of Duty and stuff like that. That's really much it.
You tough at the game or you just?
Yeah, I'm tough.
I don't know if I'm jacking that.
I'm tough. If I wasn't hooping, I'd probably be gaming for real.
Nah, but yo, I want to talk about fast forward a little bit. Your year at ETSU, you was hooping. I don't know if you know, but I'm friends with Jordan King, and yeah. I remember tuning into some of y'all games and like, yo, that big is tough. I didn't know who you was at the time, but you had a pretty good year there. You was 13 all conference, averaging like 15-6, shooting almost 60% from the field, which is crazy. So just talk about that year and hooping with JK, like that dynamic duo.
So yeah, that was like my first time actually like playing college hoops for real, because my freshman year didn't really play. You know, you got in when you got in, so it's like actually having that step to play college basketball for the first time and going to somewhere that a coach told me like the balls actually be in my hands a lot more and start making plays. If it was great, because I haven't done something like that since high school, so it was like getting that feeling back and, you know, hooping with someone that can actually hoop as well.
I was killing. Man,
it was good. We had some tough losses, but you know, we was all young. We was all 19, 20, youngest probably 21, maybe if 22. So it was, you know, we was all young, just, you know, going out there having fun for real.
That's tough. And I wanted to ask you this too. Like, you originally committed to Virginia Tech, yeah. And you were there for a year, and like, you ain't really play much, so I'm just kind of wondering, like, how did you stay ready? How did you stay confident while not playing that much at Virginia Tech? And I know you already talked about how fun playing with that team was, like, at ETSU, but what was your mindset heading to that 1 year?
Knowing that, you know, looking at the roster, you know, that's when COVID year and stuff like that, everybody had the year, extra year. So playing, actually – knowing coming in that I'm going to have to compete with some grad students every day, some seniors, some even some juniors, you know, it was expected, you know, going out there trying to compete with those guys every day. And knowing that even though that I might not have the chance to play, you know, I'm going to be the best teammate that I can be, because, you know, it's not all about me. I've been in situations that, hey, I haven't got a lot of minutes, but even when I do get in, I make the best of my abilities and, you know, be a good teammate. That's really all it's about for real. So it's like going out there, just competing, you know, even being on the scout team, you know, having fun with that, just making the best of your abilities and also getting better because they're also there to help you get better as well. So, you know, it was fun, really.
Definitely tough.
Were you there when they won the ACC championship?
Yeah.
Word. So what was that experience like? Like, I know you just said, like, sometimes you'd be on scout team and stuff, but nonetheless, like, y'all just won an ACC chip. That's big time. So just talk about some of those games and what you remember from that.
You know, it's special, you know. You know, we was literally fighting for to make it into the tournament, you know. We didn't really have the best year. We had a 20-win season, but, you know, we had to win the ACC tournament to even get to the NCAA tournament. So that was the goal, you know. Darius, you know, he hit the big shot in the first round to beat Clemson, game winner. He hit that shot. You know, without that shot, we wouldn't have to get there. And, you know, beating Duke, you know, Coach K last season, you know, Hunter Couture, he dropped 31 points, 7 threes. You know, without that, you know, we're not even talking about Virginia Tech and making the tournament and stuff like that. So, you know, it's fun. We all got our rings, my ring back home still. So that's something to appreciate for real.
That's big time, bro. I mean, ACC championship, y'all playing in New York City too, right? In the Barclays Center, big time moments playing, like you said, Coach K's last year at Duke playing against them. So I'm sure that's a great memory. And it's obvious that you stayed ready too, because you carried that into the next year at ETSU. You was killing.
Yeah.
And after that year at ETSU, you transferred to George Mason and you redshirted that first year and now you're playing. So just talk about like the redshirting experience, like, and how you think that's maybe helped your game and your future career, if at all.
You know, as expected, you know, with the double transfer rule and stuff like that. So coming in with the mindset that, hey, I might have the chance that play, but I also know it's a high chance of me sitting out. So, you know, just coming with that mindset, you know, they told me that, hey, we're going to practice you like if you're going to play, and they're going to treat you like you as a player. So, you know, always staying ready, you know, training me every day, being a part of the team activities and stuff like that. So, you know, that just right there just got me to stay ready.
Word. Oh. I got one more question before we take a quick break. But you mentioned, like, beating Duke, and then this year you guys played Duke. I'm not going to say what the outcome was, but yeah. I just want to hear, like, you know, they're getting a lot of buzz. They're number two in the country right now. Cooper Flagg, obviously, we know. Just what was, the energy on the court that day, and how did that feel for you, like, being on that court again?
It was fun, you know. It was a good game. You know, we competed. We fought hard. We didn't lay down. So it was a fun environment to be in, you know. That was, like, a really good test for us to see where we are as a team and capabilities. And I feel like we stood tall in all aspects. And, you know, we held it down as long as we could. And so, you know, it was fun. It was great.
All right. Well, we got a lot more to talk about with your GMU season, Coach Skin, all that. So stay with us while I take a quick break.
And we're back. Not even D2 pod with Jalen Haynes. So one thing that KJ and I was kind of wondering about, bro, and if you kind of tell us, after your year at ETSU, obviously you dominated. I just want to hear, when you were in the transfer portal, what other schools were looking at you?
At the time, we used a lot of Power Fives like Mississippi State, LSU. You know, I heard from Arkansas. I heard from Louisville as well. So it's just like, at the time, you know, they didn't know I was going to be eligible to even play. So they didn't want to waste a roster spot knowing that I wasn't be able to play at the time. So, you know, that's really influenced my – that really, like, influenced, like, me transferring or coming to George Mason and stuff like that.
Because they were going to take you regardless if you had to redshirt or not.
Yeah.
That's what's up, bro. I mean, that's clear that they believed in you, and it's paying off, obviously, because you guys are balling right now. You're balling. And – I want to get your opinion on one thing. We talk a lot about, I mean, we kind of talked about at the beginning of the episode with the A-10 being a two-bid league, but there was an argument over the summer that I had with a couple coaches and players about A-10 being a high major league. And I'm just wondering, you've been there for 2 years now, obviously playing 1 year. So just give your opinions on the A-10, if you think it can be considered a high major conference, and who are some of your favorite matchups in the A-10 as well?
You know, A-10, you know, it can be, you know, a top league in this country, you know, just like the Mountain West and stuff like that. You know, we got a whole lot of high major guys in this league. You know, we got great athletes. We got people that can score the ball, shoot the ball, et cetera, just like any other league. So, absolutely, I think we could compete at any level. A-10 could compete at any level. You saw it last year at Dayton, you know, Duquesne. You know, they both won the first round in the tournament. You know, they was down 20 to Nevada and came back and won. You know, Duquesne beat Northwestern. So, it's just, you know, it's the proof is in the pudding. You know, we could compete with anybody in this country. So that's how we feel as a league.
Word. This year, your first like season hooping, but do you have any like big man matchups? Are you like, I'm trying to go at this dude when I see him, or you just taking it game by game for real?
I'm just taking it game by day for real. I don't really look at who's guarding me and the matchup and stuff like that. You know, I'm comfortable and talented enough to, you know, compete with anybody. So I don't really go out there looking for anybody, but, you know, people, they probably go out there looking for me, and I just be chilling for real.
I respect it, bro. I'm going to switch the convo. I want to talk about Coach Skin, his second year at GMU. I'm not going to say, but, like, motherfuckers around, you know, that area say he's a G. That's how they describe him. So I just want to hear, like, how you would describe Coach Skin and what makes him stand out amongst, like, some of the other coaches you've been coached by.
You know, it's cool. You know, Skin, you know, he a player coach. He's in the mix. He's very active in practice every day. Very, you know, attentive, very locked in. So, you know, it's good. You know, we always talk about he's from this area. So, you know, it's great to have somebody like that that's really from, really knowing this area and that really played the game to really be, you know, be coached by him. You know, it's great.
Or, yo, does he be talking about, like, his hoop career or anything or no?
No, not as much, but he used to a lot, you know, but he toned it down now.
You said he'd be active in practice, like he'd be shooting with y'all or stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, he's really, like, into it with us in practice and stuff like that.
He still got it or what, or nah?
I mean, he got it sometimes, he don't, but, you know, it's one of those 50-50 things, you know?
Yo, Ruda, I don't know if you ever seen it, but you remember when Harden got, like, dropped in the Olympics? It was like, if you haven't, you gotta go check it. But it was Coach Skin that dropped him. He was playing in the Olympics. Yeah, you definitely gotta watch that. But this is gonna be the last question before we get into rapid fire. So, like, I'm just asking. You could take it wherever you want. But what's the future of Jalen Haynes' basketball career look like?
Obviously, me growing up, I always wanted to be a professional basketball player. That was like my goal, my dream. You know, so making it to the NBA, you know, actually staying there, that's the goal for real. So I'm gonna try my best to get there for real.
Word. I respect it, bro. Have you, like, started any of that process, like trying to get an agent, talking to some scouts, or what's that like?
Not really. I let my dad handle that type of stuff, so I don't really focus on that. I'm focused on, like, the seasoning and stuff like that. So whatever my dad got going on, like, we'll talk about it after the season and stuff like that.
Respect, bro. Shout out to Pops. But we're going to end this episode with rapid fire and starting 5 editions. So let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
I'm ready for sure.
All right. First rapid fire question is, name the top 3 Florida hoopers that you grew up playing with.
That I grew up playing with Raekwon Gray. You know, he went to FSU, played in the league for a little bit. My boy, Deshaun Bartley, you know, that was my guy. That was my point guard growing up. Yeah, we played together since probably like – or we knew each other since probably like middle school. So he's been my point guard for like 3 years. And who else that I played with that was really good? I'll say my dog, Daryl. You know, we've been playing AAU since probably like 2 years old. So that's pretty much it for real.
All right. That's definitely a good list. Next rapid fire question. So you said that you like Rod Wave, so I want to hear your favorite Rod Wave song.
My favorite, I'm not gonna lie, like all his music is like really like all his music, but I'm gonna pick out a song. I'm gonna say his recent song, West Side Connections. That's my song right there.
Bro, we had someone on the pod that produced a song for Rod Wave. OMDB, you know that song?
Yeah,
he produced a song for Rod Wave, and he said, I mean, I don't really remember exactly what he was saying about, like, working with him, but I know he said all good things in terms of, like, treated him respectfully and stuff like that. And that, I'm pretty sure that that song went platinum or gold.
Yeah, it went platinum.
That's tough. That's tough. Rod Wave definitely got a lot of good bangers. Yeah. And last rapid fire question, just funniest teammates that you've ever had. Like, you got to pick one from Virginia Tech, ETSU, and George Mason.
At VT, I want to say Hunter Couture. You know, he was basically my vet coming in. You know, he was just a funny guy. We had some great times. You know, it was all love with him. At ETSU, I'll say probably Jordan. Jordan was funny. You know, being around Jordan, you know, he always smiles and stuff like that. So he was very jokingly. Then I'll say it right here. At Mason, not everybody could know, but KD, he the funniest person on the team. I'm not gonna lie, y'all probably wouldn't think it, but that man's a character. So
I've heard stories that he's funny, bro.
Yeah, he current. That's my guy.
Nah, it's tough. But we're gonna move to the starting five edition. So basically, if you're a coach assembling a lineup, who's your lineup gonna be in this edition? So you're building a team around Jalen Haynes. You at the five. I need 1 through 4, or you could put yourself at the four and put 1, 2, 3 and a five. So just tell me positions and they name where they hooped at. Like people that you play with.
Okay. So I'm gonna put Jordan at my one.
Heard. Cup.
Who else I play with? I'm gonna put Hunter Couture at my three. I mean, now my three at my two. Shooter. Then three man. I'm gonna put my boy Woody at the three. He's 6'9", so I can put him at the three. Then I'm gonna put my boy Clips, Jaden Seymour, and ETSU right now. He killing right now. I'll put him at my four. Then I'll put obviously myself at the five.
Nah, that's a tough lineup. Yo, do you like playing the – because I know that you be playing the four sometimes at GMU when you go super big lineup. So you like playing the four or the five better?
I like playing both equally, you know. So it's like I have advantage at both positions anyway. So, you know, it's fun. It's something that I'm used to anyway. So it's really fun.
Word. Well, that was a tough lineup. And that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely appreciate you getting on the pod on your off day, bro. Definitely going to be following GMU, hoping you guys get an at-large bid. And yeah, good luck the rest of the year, my boy.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, so before we end this episode, we're going to add another segment of Only in D3, where Ruta and I tell you what it's like being a Division III student-athlete, tell a story that, you know, only happens in Division III. Mine is really quick, but we're just playing at Cuca. Well, one, I just want to say, Cuca's locker room is dumb hot. You guys play them at Cuca? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Saturday. Dumb hot. And then the next day, we went to Elmira, and it's dumb cold. It's mad weird. But anyways, Cuca's got, like, the gym is upstairs, and then, like, the locker room's downstairs. And both teams, after the third quarter ended in the girls' game, we're stretching, and they have, like, a small hallway. So it's basically, like, if this is the size of the hallway, Alfred's right here and then Cuca's right here. So it was Casey's first game back and we were not trying to like let them know that he's playing. So he wouldn't like go all the way down the hall when we were doing like high knees or something. He would like stop and motherfuckers would like, I don't want to say guard him, but like make it known that he's not playing. But that it was just funny to me that, you know, only in D3 where you're, right before the game, you're going to be stretching with the other team.
Nah, 100%. It's always, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of teams now will have their teams like going like exit at halftime at different sides of the gym. So it's like you're not like crossing paths. You know what I mean? Because that's always like kind of an awkward situation. You're like walking down to the hall, walking down the locker room like, yeah, we about to smack these in the second half. And, yeah. But you can't really do that at some schools. That's definitely funny, bro. My only in D3 story, bro. All right, so let me preface this by saying I love the Empire 8, love every team in the Empire 8, but they recently we were notified a couple weeks ago that basically someone dunked in pregame warmups at Hartwick and they broke the shot clock. And
it was at our game too.
It was at your game.
Yeah, I said it when we got the technical foul for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So someone did that at your game too. And they told us, our AD, our former AD rather, told us that we weren't allowed to dunk in warmups. And I mean, it doesn't affect me because I'm not a high flyer, but like Dame, freaking all the younger guys who try to get up on the rim before the game, like they was all sick. And
bro, that's how you like, that's how the vibes get high, bro. Like the team, like, hey, you getting bounced right now.
It's funny because like this past weekend at senior day, energy was high. You know, Dame started throwing it in the rim, doing 360s, or Hagen started throwing it. The facilities manager, John, that I told you about before, he comes out running onto the court. He's like, what are you guys doing? Why are you dunking? He starts getting dumb tight, and we're like looking at him like, bro, like, Mac, bro, it's going to be good. Like, we're fine. Like, the refs aren't going to give us a tech. We're fine. And basically all that to say, only in D3 would they try and prevent you from dunking and layup lines, bro. Only in D3.
Yo, only in D3. Bro, that's a bad rule. But also I heard that they're about to start, like, giving techs for, like, if you do any type of, like, arrow, if you, like, do any three-point celebration like that. Against Cuca, I hit a three, and my celly is this. And the ref came up to our assistant coach and was like, just a warning, if he does that again, like, we're going to have to tech him. I'm like,
what do you do? You go like this?
Like, I'll stand up. I just do that. I got it from my son, Kayson Wallace on the Thunder. I was like, yeah, I'm stealing that. That's our segment of Only in D3. And stay with us while we head to talk with our Empire 8 Player of the Week. Shout out to this week's Player of the Weeks. We got two for both sides, co-players. We didn't get to talk with the Sage Player of the Week, but she's balling. So if she does it again, we'll definitely get her on. So we talked with Makai Beckett from Brockport, Damian Call from Utica on the guy side, and then Kristen Sudam on Geneseo. Really good conversations. What you got to tell me about them?
I mean, first with Makai Beckett, he's been balling this year, this past week where he got Player of the Week, he's averaging 17.5 points per game, almost four assists, and a pair of key EA victories for Brockport. With my brother, man, Dane Call, proud of him getting this Player of the Week this week. I mean, he averaged 18 across both games. I'm pretty sure he brought in 15 rebounds that's 15 total rebounds over the weekend, excuse me. Still controlling the boards, attacking the glass hard, another key pair of victories for Utica heading into conference play. So definitely happy for him. And then Kristen Sudam, to another pair of massive EA wins for them. They defeated Naz and Fisher, and she was leading scorer in both games. And she combined for 13 rebounds over the weekend. So, again, controlling the boards, kind of seeing a pattern here. But definitely all these three players played great this week, and I'm excited to see what they do for the rest of the year.
All these teams are having really good seasons, and let's hear from each player of the week. We are here with this week's co-Empire Player of the Week, Makai Beckett. Had a great week, which we're going to talk about. But you guys played Naz. It was like battle for the one seed. I believe at the time they had two losses. You guys had one in the conference. And seeing like videos and stuff, I seen there was mad people there because it was Coach Dunn's retirement night. So a lot of alumni came back, stuff like that. So one, I just want you to talk about like the energy that was in the building for against Naz, and then the impact that Coach Dunn had on your career. Because I know I think your first 2 years he was the coach, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a great night. Just for his night, it was definitely a great atmosphere. A lot of fans was there. Nazareth is only like 20-30 minutes away from us, so it was a packed house. A lot on the line, first seed. So it definitely was a big game for that. And then, you know, just he was a Nazareth player. He was a former player for Naz. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's an All-American there. So the fact that he gets to play, you know, against, you know, his old school that he went to, it was that just made it even bigger. So it was very important for us to, you know, go out there and win that game. And Dunny was he impacted me, you know, not just basketball, but off the court. Just being a father figure, somebody you look up to, you could go to for anything. You know, I don't think I would be the player that I am without him, for pushing me, for motivating me. I would think, you know, my whole team would say that, or guys that played with him would say, you know, he was just a great leader and somebody you definitely, you know, wanted to play for and play hard for.
After he retired, did you keep in contact with him or not really?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would talk to him, ask for advice, you know, talk to him about anything. It don't even got to be basketball, just life in general. You know, he's always somebody you could just go to and, you know, he'll, you know, tell us to, you know, continue to just, you know, keep pushing the younger guys and, you know, leading by example and things like that. So we definitely keep in touch.
That's super tough when you could have a good relationship with your coach like that, especially off the court, bro. And I was going to say, too, like those big games when like the crowd is packed and like, you know, it's a high level game. Like those are the games you live for, bro. Like you want to go out there.
Yeah. For sure. It was a lot of motivation in that game. Like I said, we wanted to, you know, clinch the number one seed. You know, we've been, you know, working hard all year to just, you know, get the opportunity to do that. So it was definitely big.
I mean, talking about that, bro, this is y'all first year in the Empire 8 and, you know, clinching the number one seed, like that's super tough. And I want to hear, like, you played in the Suniac too. So just your perspective on playing in the Suniac versus the Empire 8 this year.
To be honest, I thought the Suniac was, you know, better. Overall, I thought the talent was better. The teams are, but I think the Empire 8 definitely surprised me a lot. It's definitely more physical, I would say, compared to the Suniac. And it's a lot of talent. You know, it's a lot of guys putting up numbers. You know, you can't really sleep on any team. Any night you could, you know, lose. I look at the standings and, you know, the games after our games, and, you know, there could be a bottom team beating one of the top teams. So it's definitely a, you know, a harder conference than I thought, for sure. And I would say it's definitely a lot of talent, just as much as the Suniac is, too.
Yo, do you follow, like, the Suniac still or not? Nah? You, like,
I've totally just been on the E8. I haven't really been paying attention to the Suniac conference at all. I've just been focused on our conference.
That's what's up. I mean, talking about being locked in, I mean, this is your first player of the week this year. And it's getting close to conference playoffs, bro. And I'm just wondering, like, you averaged 18 this past week. You was obviously bugging. So has the mindset changed for you a little bit heading into playoff time? Or is it always, like, you staying the same no matter what game?
I stay in the same, you know, but my goal is to win. I want to win. You know, I'm, you know, coming off injury. So, you know, just getting back in shape, getting back 100%, you know. So I think, you know, that's starting to show, me just getting back to 100% and, you know, doing whatever I can to help my teammates win, and, you know, doing whatever the coaches need me to do. So my mindset is, you know, obviously it's getting more important. You know, playoffs is one game. So, you know, you got to go out there and play your hardest. So we're just, you know, locking in as a team and, you know, trying to continue to just keep getting better every day.
Word. Well, congrats on a player of the week, bro. You coming into Alpha territory coming up this weekend. So it's going to be we'll see you this weekend, but congrats again, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
All right, we are here with this week's co-player of the week on the girl side of things, Kristen Suedam. Did I say it right?
Sudam.
My bad. But you had a really good week and a dominant 2-0 weekend against Fisher and Nazareth, two of the top teams in EA. Naz had one loss going into your guys' game, and then Fisher had zero. They were undefeated. You guys handed them their first loss. And I just want to hear from you, like, a little about both those games, you know, playing the best two teams and what the preparation was for those games.
Yeah, so we knew that was going to be a huge weekend for us. Both Fisher and Naz are really good teams. We knew that it was going to be really good competition for us. They both have really talented players on their team, so we knew we had to go out there with high energy, composure, stay focused, and play team defense if we wanted to win.
Word. Real quick, I know that, you know, Sydney Tommaso, she was on the show last week, and she's having a really good year in contention for, you know, player of the year. So was there anything specific, because you guys kind of shut her down, one of her, you know, lower performances of the year. So just talk about that.
Yeah, we just really emphasized defense and limiting they're really good players. So we had our best player on her, which she did a great job. Shout out to Kylie Snow. She did a really good job. We definitely limited her. I think boxing out was definitely a big thing for us too. We just emphasized rebounding, and I think we did a pretty good job with that.
Talking about emphasizing rebounding, it's a perfect transition. You combined for 13 rebounds over the weekend, and you've been averaging 7.5 on the year, which is super tough. So I'm just wondering, do you have a specific mindset going for rebounds? And really what I'm talking about, like, is it angles? Is it physicality? Like, I want to hear that side of it.
Yeah, so we definitely emphasize the importance of rebounding on our team. We always say defense wins games, so we definitely – rebounding is big for us. I would say my mindset when it comes to rebounding is to just crush the boards every time a shot goes up. It definitely also helps when your teammates are doing their part and boxing out. It makes it easier to go get the ball. I would say definitely keeping contact is a big thing too. So when you see a ball go up, go find your defender, hit them. And I think a large part of rebounding is also hustling, so I make sure to just go crash every time a shot goes up.
Word. Yeah. I was we asked Mekhi Beckett this question. He was another player of the week this year in the Empire 8. And just the fact that like playoffs are around the corner. And I'm just wondering, you've been hooping for Geneseo. So has there been a mindset change for you heading into playoffs, or does everything stay the same for you?
Yeah, so these next three games are really big for us. We're gonna just remember to take one game at a time. We gotta play a full 40 minutes and play team defense, team basketball. We definitely got to play a high intensity. Rockport's going to be a really big game for us. I think our last matchup with them was a really good learning experience. But, yeah, we got to definitely remember to do the little things, rebound, box out, echo calls. And, yeah, we're really excited for our next matchup with them. We also got to remember that these next few games can decide what seed we are in the playoffs. So we just got to remember to play with high intensity, and we're really excited to see what the outcome is.
Word. This is going to be my last question for you. Another topic we talked about with Mekhi, you guys obviously both were from the Suniac, and now you're playing in the Empire 8, and you guys are, you know, 12-1 in the conference right now. So I was just wondering if you could talk about maybe like the differences in the conferences, mm-hmm. or what you've seen from that transition.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is definitely travel-wise. There's definitely a lot less travel in the Empire 8, which is good. Definitely it helps with academics and stuff. I think competition-wise, there was a little bit more competition in the Suniacs. You know, there was like Geneseo, Cortland, New Paltz, Oneonta, all those teams where we had really good battles with them. We do still have good battles with Empire 8, but I just think overall there's a lot more stronger teams in the Suniac than Empire 8.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I mean, like, Cortland's been dominating in women's basketball. You guys were good. Brockport's good. Oneonta's always average or good. So I definitely respect that. But I hope that the EA can provide a little bit more competition for you guys coming up. You guys coming into Alfred this weekend. So good luck, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we got this week's Player of the Week, Utica's Finest, Dame Call, on the pod. Appreciate you getting on, my boy.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on Not Even D2.
Yes, sir. Definitely a long time coming, bro. Just to get into the conversation, my guy, out of the last 9 games, Utica has won 8 of them. And I'm just kind of wondering, from your perspective, what you kind of seen from the guys. Has there been a shift in play? Just talk about your perspective on all that.
I think winning 8 out of the last 9, I think we're gaining a lot of momentum going into the playoffs, and I think that's something we needed, like, you know, just the season, how we started, just with some tough losses in the beginning and then some tough conference losses. But I think winning a lot of those games, the 8 out of 9 past games, I think that's just given us a lot of momentum. And I think just realizing, you know, for some of us guys, like me, you know, Dev, they're just, you know, it's our last times on the court. So, you know, just I think, you know, realizing that and just knowing, like, this is our last time, like, I think that just allowed us to go even harder than, you know, even harder than we were going before. So I think that just played a part into it, you know, like during break, you know, just playing basketball, just thinking about, you know, the conference schedule we got. But yeah, I think just gaining that momentum is big, and, you know, winning 8 out of those 9 games is big. Especially after the start we had compared to previous years. But I think it's all learning process, and I think it helped us and hopefully helps us in the long run. But yeah.
Word. Do you notice or do you think that Coffey made any like specific adjustments that made any of the guys buy in a little bit more, practice change, like anything like that you could share?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe at first, like, you know, like we've had success in the previous years and, you know, I think guys were just thinking of that and maybe just thinking, you know, like it was just going to come. But like, you know, at the end of the day, you still have to work for it. You know, you can't just expect to win, especially, you know, teams in the EA are tough. So like, it's just hard to win in this league on a date, on a night to night basis. So I think, you know, just him just getting on us and just, you know, trying to get the 100% max effort out of us, is really what he's trying to do. Really what we should have been doing from the start. But I think, you know, him just pushing that on us and, you know, him being a basketball player back in college, he knows the feeling of stepping on the court for the last time or that last season. So he really just harps on us, you know, just it's your last time on the floor. Like, just give it your all. And like, you know, this is it. So.
Word. Yeah, for sure. Talking a little bit, like you mentioned, you know, the past years you guys have had some success. And last year you were a first team all conference player. And this year you're also having a really good year. But I just want to hear like some of the adjustments you think you had to make to your game, you know, losing a key piece like Justice, you know, just, you know, year to year, the roster's changed. So just tell me what you were working on and what adjustments you've noticed in yourself this year.
Right. Yeah. No, I think just adjustments for me, just like, I mean, just trying to open up more like shooting options. Like, you know, I try to get to the rim or try to get to the post and then get to the rim. But I think just, you know, some teams have, you know, when I got my back turned, I think just making an adjustment of just trying to keep not eyes in the back of my head, but just knowing when someone's coming or like a double team is coming, just that adjustment. And then just kind of adjusting, you know, maybe people think I'm trying to get all the way to the rim, you know, just trying to add like that little midi in the bag. So I think those were like the main adjustments, and, you know, just like shooting, ball handling, stuff like that. But yeah, just really those adjustments, offensively and then defensively, just trying to stay doing what I'm doing, just get quicker on the ball, more versatile. But those were really just the main adjustments from last year to this year, is just like a little more shooting and then just adding like that midi bag, and just becoming a more versatile defender. Yeah.
My boy was 2 for 2 last game against Sage from three, so it's coming.
Yeah. In this year. It depends on the night, bro.
Hey, it looks good coming off your hands, bro. I know you're working on it this summer, so I'm not surprised at all, bro.
Yeah, thank you, Brody.
So I want to talk about senior night, and this is a night that, you know, whenever, like even before this year, like I know when I was younger, like I would look onto senior night and be like, damn, I can't wait for senior night. It's going to happen fast, but it's going to be a fun night. And it happened, bro. It was a great night. It was great celebrating with my brothers on the court, but you hit your 1K on senior night, which is even like so fire. So I want to hear about your emotions hitting 1K on senior night in front of the fam, and especially on that day.
I mean, it's just mad surreal. I mean, just hitting it in Utica. I mean, I hit it on senior night in high school too, my 1K, back in Rome. So, I mean, it was just super surreal. And then just to do it like in front of my like whole family, and then like my teammates that I've been playing with, Ruta Griff for 4 years, and then like Dev Luke, for a good 3 years. So I think just doing it, you know, with my brothers on the court, like you said, and then just doing it in front of the fam was just, the most important to me. But like we were talking about, Ruta is just God's plan. So like, that was our last home game senior day. So like, I couldn't plan any better, to do it with the team in front of the fam. So.
That's definitely tough, bro. Well, that's going to do it. Congrats on the co-player of the week. Definitely good luck this weekend, and good luck the rest of the year, my guy.
Yeah, appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it, and we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro. That was a fire episode.
OD.